Alrighty. So now, take my Bible, and we're going to look at the idea that God has power, and God gives power to people. And we're going to start in Matthew 6, verse 13. This is a familiar section for pretty much all Christians who have been raised to recite the Lord's Prayer every time Christians get together. And it was a wonderful prayer. And at the end of the prayer, in verse 13, it says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The power originates with God, right? All power, all ability originates with God. And it's, as far as the kingdom of God goes, he's king, right? Thine is the kingdom, and thine, I mean yours, God, is the power and the glory forever. That's not going to change. Amen. Now, this part of that prayer is very similar to another prayer that was prayed by David the king back in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and in verse 10. Here we go. So it says, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." This is at the point where it's almost the end of David's life, and he had prepared for the building of the temple and had charged his son Solomon to do the building of it. But David had accumulated a lot of wealth and had dedicated that wealth towards the building of the temple. And there were others in the kingdom that had done that also. They were voluntarily giving of their wealth so that they could make the temple, which would require a lot of stones, a lot of wood, a lot of silver, a lot of gold. Okay? So in verse 10, "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all." Sound very similar to the end of the Lord's Prayer there. Verse 12 says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." Isn't that cool? So in God's hand there's power and might. You know, he has that power, he has that strength and the wisdom to know what to do with it, and he has the ability to give power, to give strength to people, to human beings. God could give power to human beings, and he does that. Go to Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. This is at the end of Moses' life, where he's giving his last words to the people of Israel before they enter the promised land under Joshua's leadership. And he warned them not to forget about God, because he said, you know, you're going to go into this land that's very rich. It's a prosperous land. It produces much. It's very fertile. And you're going to become wealthy. And a few generations later, the people might think, hey, we are pretty hot stuff. Look what we were able to accomplish. Look what we were able to produce. And Moses warned them never to forget. Let's actually start in verse 17. He warns them that you might say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. You see that? But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. God gives people the ability, the power, to get wealth, to accumulate and amass a lot of stuff that's good for them. And he said, I'm going to do this for you so I can fulfill
the promises I made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to be the beneficiaries of all this goodness, but don't go thinking that it's because of your natural ability that you have all this. Remember that it's God. God that gives you the power to get wealth. Okay? So, and us too, we've got to remember that also. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, right? So if you receive these blessings and you start accumulating wealth, don't think it's because you're so shrewd and so smart and so mighty. Just remember it's God that's blessed you along the way, because God does give people ability that translates into material wealth, among other things. Look at Psalm 68, please. And we're going to read the first few verses and then the last verse. So Psalm 68, the beginning of the psalm talks about how massively mighty God is. It says, "Let God arise," in verse 1. "Let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice." So, God is just tremendously awesome. Now, let's go to the last verse of that, verse 35. "Oh God, thou art terrible." In King James English, that means awesome. The meaning of that word is degraded through the years in American English. But what's the root of that word? Like terror, fear, to be feared, to stand in awe. So it says, "Oh God, thou art terrible." It means like, whoa. People should stand back and stand in awe of God. "Thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God." See, God is so awesome, and he gives strength and power unto his people. So God has power, and he gives power. Really cool stuff. Let's look at Isaiah 40. I love this section in Isaiah 40. If you ever feel like you can't physically or mentally do anything, I've had those days. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 28, says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall," even though sometimes it seems like they never run out of energy, right? Those of us that have had kids and grandkids, it seems like they just go and go and go and go and go. But they do get tired. They get weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Even if you're older, you know? Even if the parts of the body don't seem to function the way they used to, it says, "They that wait upon the Lord," it doesn't give any other qualifications, does it? The only qualifier is that they wait upon the Lord. "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles," and eagles have strong wings. We've seen that. "They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Even if you walk 5 miles in a day or more, if you're waiting on the Lord, you know, you go to him, you pray to him, he will renew your strength for you. And he makes a person stronger, even physically stronger. Think of Samson. Not going to read all about him, it would take too long, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became very strong. He could, like, kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. I mean, just taking a jawbone out of an ass.
Yeah.
With your bare hands. A lion attacked him, and he just ripped it in pieces. and then push down the pillars of that big building where thousands of people were. God gave him physical strength, and it came by way of the Spirit of God, okay? It started with the Spirit, and it translated into physical strength. But that's not the only thing. We saw that physical strength is one thing God can do for people. The ability to get wealth is another. God gives wisdom so you know what to do. And there's spiritual abilities God has given to people. Let's look at some of these in the Gospels. Let's go to... Well, first let's go to Acts chapter 10 concerning what happened in the Gospels, but spoken after the fact. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. This is Peter talking to Cornelius and company about the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, with Holy Spirit, and with what? Power. He anointed him with Holy Spirit and with power. Where did Jesus Christ get his power from?
God.
From God, through the Holy Spirit. God anointed him with Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So he had power not only for himself to be strong and well, but power that he could impart to other people. You see? He could impart that power to heal their physical bodies. God gave him that ability. Now, in Matthew chapter 9, and there's different words for power. One word is dunamis, which is ability. Okay? Something that makes you able to do things that you could not otherwise do. The other is exousia, which is authority, so that you can rightfully exercise that power. You have the authority to do it. There's another one that's kratos, which has to do with the impact of the power. And another is iskus, which is the force of the power. So, might be a good study night topic to look at all the different things regarding power. Good idea, Lynn. But in Matthew 9, in verse 6, Jesus Christ is ministering to this man who was not able to walk because he was paralyzed. He was sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed. He couldn't move. He couldn't walk into the building that they were in. He was carried by four others. And because of the crowds, they had to open up the ceiling and lower him down. And Jesus Christ told him, your sins are forgiven you. And people started talking, saying, oh, only God has the authority to forgive sins. Who does he think he is? So we're going to pick this up in verse 6. Verse 6 says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Now here's a man that was paralyzed. And he told him to get up and pick up his bed. And I don't think it was a four-poster, but it was the mat that he was on. But he couldn't walk into the building. Now he's saying, get up, pick up your bed, go home. And he obeyed. He arose and departed to his house. He was given the ability to do that. Jesus Christ imparted the ability for that man to rise up and walk when he didn't have it a minute before and hadn't had it for a long time. He also had the authority to forgive his sins. So the man arose and walked to his house. But when the multitude saw it, in verse 8, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. They said, wow, God has given this power to men to forgive sins, to heal the body. Whoa. And they glorified God, who had given that power to Jesus Christ. That's where Jesus Christ received the power. God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And here's one example. There are many, many, many others. Let's go to Luke chapter 9. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus Christ gives power to a group of others. In verse 1 of chapter 9, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He gave them the power. They didn't previously have that power. But he gave them the power. The word power here is dunamis, and the word authority is exousia. So he gave to them the ability, and he gave to them the authority to do it. And he sent them out to do it. And they went out and did it. In chapter 10, he sent out another group of 70. In verse 1, it says, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Now, at the end of it all, they came back and were amazed at the power that they were able to exercise. In verse 17, the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You see that? He gave them that power. Now, in Luke 24, verse 49, he talks about an even greater power. Luke 24, 49, this is after he had been raised from the dead, and he met with his apostles, the 12, and verse 49 said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. In the manifestations this morning, God talked about the power that he's given to us, that he's endued us with power, right? So he told the 12, you wait in Jerusalem, don't leave until you are endued with power from on high. Then in Acts chapter 1 is the continuation of this. In verse 8, same meeting here, Jesus with the apostles that he had chosen. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power. That's lambano. You're going to receive power. And the word power is dunamis. After that, the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So those 12 would receive power and be witnesses. Now, go to Acts chapter 4, verse 33, regarding power to be witnesses. You know, it wasn't just going door to door and handing out watchtowers, you know. Acts 4:33 says, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Okay? With great power. One of the things that they had done between Pentecost and this time is healed the man at the temple gate that was lame from birth, that had never walked in his whole life, and got him walking and leaping and praising God. And he said, it's not by our own power that we've made this man to walk. It's through the power of believing in the name of Jesus Christ, right? He believed in Jesus Christ. Faith in the name of Jesus Christ made that man strong and able to walk. So these 12 were manifesting great power, great miracles. But it wasn't only the 12, because in Acts 6, verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He was full of believing and full of power, and he did great wonders and miracles among the people. You read about Philip going to Samaria, healing people and casting out devils, and it says there was great joy in that city. And you see others doing that too. You see the Apostle Paul later on with mighty signs and wonders. So this power wasn't limited to the 12, even though they were the first ones that was promised to. But what did Peter say to the group in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, when he testified about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, how God made him Lord and Christ, and he spoke to the people who had demanded his crucifixion? And in verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were pricked or pierced in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? We killed the Messiah. We are in big trouble. Then Peter said unto them, repent. Just have a change of heart, a change of believing, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You'll be forgiven, even of that big one. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that promise of the Father, the power from on high. Right? You shall receive power. That's what Jesus Christ told the 12, and the 12 told these others, you're going to receive the same gift. So God did not limit the power just to the leaders of the group. God poured it out on everybody, right? Like he said in the book of Joel that Peter quoted, he poured out his spirit upon all flesh. So anybody who would believe could receive it. Mm-hmm. So what does that make us who have believed and received the same gift? It doesn't make us weak little people who go begging to God for a little crumb now and then. It makes us powerful, right? God made us people powerful. We didn't start out powerful, did we? It says, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength. That's in Romans 5. Let's take a look at that. It just came to mind. I didn't write it down originally, but Romans chapter 5. In verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith, by believing into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory, even in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit's been poured out. We've received it. The love of God is poured out in our hearts. And then verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, that means we had none. Regarding spiritual ability, we didn't have spirit. We only had body and soul. So as far as spiritual ability, we had none. We had body and soul that would eventually die, and that would be it, right? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But we were without strength. We're no longer without strength. We've been given the power of the Spirit of God. It's in us. It's for us to use. For us to use according to the will of God. 1 Corinthians 12 talks all about the spiritual matters and what we have been given. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to start verse 6. I want to read it out of the working translation because it is much clearer. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to start in verse 6. It says, likewise, there are various distributions of operations or effects produced, but the same God who energizes all things in all people. You see, we've been given the power from on high, the ability, and then that ability is energized. Okay? You're doing something with it. It is God who energizes all things in all people. Verse 7, however, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for profit. For example, for one prophet, a word of wisdom is given by the Spirit. For another prophet, a word of knowledge by the same Spirit. For another, believing by the same Spirit. For another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. For another, operations of miracles. For another, prophecy. For another, discerning of spirits. For another, kinds of tongues. For another, interpretation of tongues. The one and the same Spirit energizes all these manifestations, distributing to each person individually as he wills, as he determines. So once you have the ability that's been given to you, then it is now your ability. It's your God-given ability, okay? It's not your natural ability, and your natural ability doesn't really help in these cases. I mean, whatever abilities you have, you certainly want to use, but it's not our linguistic ability that's going to help us speak in tongues, is it? Because you're never going to know what you're saying when you're speaking in tongues, right? You're speaking words that God gives you to speak. Your natural ability doesn't help with word of knowledge. It could get in the way.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, you have a question, what do? You Google it, right? And you get all kinds of information. Some may or may not be helpful, may or may not be true. But you have to go to God and say, okay, God, you tell me, and you have to get quiet. Lynn had something that she shared with me. It was just this morning, right? Mm-hmm. She was trying to figure out something about all this information regarding like getting enough calcium or something. And she said she was praying to God about this after spending some time looking everything up and trying to figure it out, saying, oh, what about this, what about that? And God spoke to her and said, I need you just to listen to me, right? Mm-hmm. And because there was some thing that she was going to take, but she was concerned that it had too much stuff in it that might be bad for her. And what God said, just water it down. It was a very simple solution. But first he had to get her attention and say, just listen to me. That's the hardest part with us so many times, is we might not trust ourselves enough to even be able to hear from God sometimes. Plus, we like to figure things out. It's just a human tendency. And there's so much information available now. It used to, when we were kids, if you wanted to look, you had to either have books in your house or go to the library. Now you just take your phone and you Google it or ask Alexa or Siri or whatever. You get all these answers. But God can tell you exactly what's going on. He can tell you what to do. There's an expression, knowledge is power. What kind of knowledge do we have available to us? From the Word of God and then the Spirit of God, that God can let you know accurately what's going on and then precisely what to do. And he's usually very efficient in the way he expresses himself. And the ability to believe, even if it is humanly impossible, so that a miracle may be produced. And that's God's call, whether you're going to do a miracle or not. But if there's a miracle to be done, you still have to determine to do it, right? Mm-hmm. And miracles, when you read about miracles in the Bible, it's not always people praying for God to do something and then God just doing something. It's often God telling a person to do something to bring it to pass. Like Moses, don't cry to me, hold your stick over the water. You do that, I'll make the wind blow, the waters will part. There is instructions involved. You know, if God just parted the waters without telling anybody who was going to do it, the people might not have even, well, that's weird.
They would have thought it would be a freak of nature.
Yeah.
Or a trap.
And yeah, they might not have really known to go through, but God spoke to Moses. Hold your staff over the water. I'll part the water. Everybody will go through on dry ground. The Egyptians will follow you. I'll take care of them, okay? But he didn't just do it. He did it in cooperation with somebody upon the earth. You have the Spirit of God. You may be that somebody that God works in to bring a miracle to pass. So you always have to be ready. You have to believe that you have the ability and be ready so if God gives you the instructions, you're ready to act on it immediately, okay? God will look for someone who will listen to him. So occasionally you need to stop talking in your head and be quiet and let God do the talking. If he has nothing to tell you, then that's fine. But if he does, you want to get it, right? I'm going to close in 1 Peter chapter 4 regarding God who has such great power and gives power to people. 1 Peter chapter 4 has some great instruction and encouragement from one Peter, who was among those 12 that was given the power of God during the gospel time to heal and cast out devils. He was one of the 12 on Pentecost who received the power that was poured out by Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost, and he was the one that addressed the whole group, saying, you get the same gift. You repent, you believe in your heart, you get the same gift that we got. And he was among those that, with great power, witnessed to others, testified of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And here in this epistle that he wrote to some believers, chapter 4, verse 10, he said, as every man hath received the gift. Have you received it? Good. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we minister to one another using the gift that has been given to us. You see? Verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Speak God's words, the words from the scriptures and the words that God may give you on the spot to speak. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You don't have to rely upon your own ability. If God tells you to do something, you say, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. God wouldn't tell you to do something that you cannot do. Say, okay, well, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I'll do it. So if any man serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God, we thank you that you are so great. By your power, you created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. By your ability, by your great wisdom, you brought it to pass. You made animals and plants and people. And we're among those people, or descendants of the first ones that you made. And then you sent your son. You gave him the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and healing all those oppressed of the devil. He gave power to others that they could preach and minister to people. And then he ascended up to your right hand and poured out the great gift of Holy Spirit that we have all received. And we are so thankful to have it, so thankful to have the God-given ability within us to do all kinds of different things, speak in tongues, interpret, prophesy, receive that word of wisdom when you have it for us, a word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, and then faith, miracles, and healing. We can bring those things to pass by your power that you have given to us. We thank you, and we look forward to the days ahead, walking with you, glorifying you, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.